I'm sitting here with Erik Dernberg and Volker Bernet. Erik, can you start by introducing yourself?
Yeah, hello. My name is Erik Dernberg. I am head of technology at ThoughtWorks, which means that I am still involved with our customer projects. So I still write code, at least on a weekly level. But at the same time, I'm involved in the strategy that we have, especially from a technology perspective. And I am now what could be called the product manager for the Pixelated project.
Yeah. Okay. Volker?
Hi, I'm Volker. I'm a developer on the Pixelated project. That's where I spend most of my time. And the other thing I'm currently working on within ThoughtWorks is all around the topic of security.
All right. So the first question is probably, as we're not earning any money with Pixelated, why did we start that project?
I guess if you've heard anything about ThoughtWorks, you have realized that ThoughtWorks is not a completely regular company. We have three pillars of our business, and one of them is obviously to run a sustainable business, but we are also interested in, on the one hand, championing software excellence, and on the other hand, to promoting a socially and economically just world. We've always understood that there were issues around privacy and security in communication, that there is an absolute need for a free society. And in certain niches, we've started using secure communication. There's been encrypted email for 20 years, but it hasn't really seen widespread adoption. So what we thought was that we have understood a problem, and that is that of secure communication. And we are not too bad at writing technology, at writing solutions. So we thought to combine those two. We've also had, and that comes back to the question around the money angle, we've also had a history of writing genre-defining open source software. Software in areas where there hasn't been software at all. And continuous integration servers are one example. We wanted to do we wanted to do something like this. There was no software, so we wrote cruise control and made it open source and handed it over to the community. And a similar thing happened with Selenium. We understood a need for lightweight testing tools that allow you to drive an application from the outside. Again, the tools that were on the market, if they were even part of this genre, weren't suitable, so we wrote one. And again, the open source solution took a life of its own and got a new life, or got a life as a community project. And we aim to do something like this too with Pixelated. What we want to do is we want to have a secure email solution that is addressing the aspect of usability for a large number of people. We want to make it possible for not only the technically literate people or the super geeks, so to speak, or the people who have a really, really strong need for privacy, but we want everyday users to use casually, on a casual level, use email. On the other hand, we also want to address the growing centralization of email service. Makes it very easy for governments and other players to go into email inboxes and read the email that is there. And that is because it is so centralized. So we want to create a solution that is decentralized. And with Pixelated, we are aiming to address those two goals in an open source package. And with other open source packages that we did in the past, we are hoping to create a community that will make this a greater success than we can make it.
Yeah. You mentioned the two pillars. And I think for everyone, it's obvious that writing secure email is a pillar two, a technical challenge on the UX side and on the technical side. But why is it important for Pillar 3? Why does it create more social and economic justice?
I guess you have to go a bit wider than just focusing strictly on the word socially and economically just world. What I think is easy to establish is that you need secure communication for a free society. And free society can mean many things. Free society does, in general, result in more economic and social justice. Free society can mean very different things. You could argue that only a small number, like investigative journalists and all sorts of other specialized people, need absolute protection from government interference, from people trying to read email. What we do find, though, is that on a casual level, there can be dangerous trends growing from the mass surveillance aspect, not from reading individual emails and caring about it. And an example that I have used on different occasions was the idea of two trajectories. On the one hand, what we see oftentimes is that companies are trying to come up with opaque pricing. That is, every buddy gets a different price for the same service. So at the moment, you're probably expecting when you book an airline ticket that everybody gets a different price. It always seems to change a little bit. You don't know why exactly the price is charged, and you have an expectation that it changes. So I think that's a trend that we can all agree on. The other trend, and this is probably a bit too far-reaching for this conversation, but the other trend is, of course, that the data that is being found or that is being spied, or when people are being spied on, that data that is taken by state actors is finding its way into the private sector. So if you take those two trends together, assume there's an insurance company and the insurance company has opaque pricing, so people don't really know exactly why they're paying the premiums they do pay. But what the insurance company does is it gets email metadata. It doesn't even get the encrypted email. It only gets the metadata, and it takes all the emails where the sender and the recipient have the same last name and the subject has something to do with the disease cancer. And what they do is then they say, okay, cancer is hereditary. So if two people with the same last name are talking about it, there's probably something in the family, they raise the insurance price. I guess what I'm trying to say is that at the moment, we don't even understand where this path will lead us. We don't know where mass surveillance, where this accessibility of something that is very, very personal and very private, where accessibility to that information will lead us as a society. And therefore, I think it is not only important for people who have a more obvious need for privacy and security, but it is important for the entire society.
No. So that what you're hinting at is something I heard being talked about, encryption by default.
Yes.
So that is what Pixelated is about, as I understand it.
Yes, Pixelated itself will certainly use encryption by default, but unless a lot of people can read and write encrypted email, it is no good to make it the default if the recipients, if you can't communicate with the recipient. So what we need is to get to the state where encryption is the default, to have tools that can be used by the vast majority of email users and not a small niche of technically literate users.
I think it's time for us to get a little bit deeper into what Pixelated is. Can you give us an overview about that, Volker?
Yes. I think there are two main components, and I think Eric already mentioned both of them. What most users get into contact with more is the Pixelated user agent. This user agent tries to provide the best usability possible for cryptography and to make it really easy even for lay people to use crypto and to not use it wrong. So the user agent is, for example, like your webmailer that you use currently and that it you call it with your browser and can, for example, use it remotely. When you use that and, for example, want to write a mail to your friend or to people you want, as Eric already said, you want it to be encrypted by default. So one of the main problems, even when you have a key, is the problem of key lookup. So how do I get a key of a person I want to write a mail to, and how can I know that that is a valid key, that I have picked the right key? These are all problems that people who want to use crypto are currently facing. This is, for example, another thing that Pixelated tries to almost hide from the user where possible, so that when I just enter a mail address, there happens some magic in the background that looks up the key for the recipient and encrypts the mail when you send it.
If I'm new to all that email encryption, how would I get in touch with Pixelated? Would I just install a package or would I go to a web page?
Currently, when you want just to try Pixelated, we have a kind of demo account on try.pixelated-project.org where you can just create an account and or use the existing demo accounts and just have a look on the user agent and see how it works. When you actually want to use Pixelated, currently you would have to find a provider that hosts Pixelated. This is not what we want to do. As Eric, I think, already mentioned, is the other thing or other problem we want to tackle is centralization. So we don't want to be a provider ourselves.
So who is the provider then?
I think there are already some providers. For example, the LEAP project. This is one open source project. It's an acronym. LEAP stands for LEAP Encryption Access Project that provides a LEAP provider, and that is what we are using for a great deal in our backend. where you can create an account. And I hope there will be other providers soon.
So when I get it right, Leap is your mail server backend kind of stuff, and Pixelated is the front end, my replacement for Gmail or...
Pixelated is kind of both. So even though you see more of the front end, we want to provide usability not only for end users, but also for administrators. The problem with centralization is that it's currently really hard to set up your own email provider, to install your own host and just run it. The maintenance costs are very high. And you have to
fight spam, as I heard.
And spam, yeah, for example. So there are a lot of problems when it comes to run your own provider. And Leap already tries to make it really easy to set up your provider. And we want to make it even easier to do that, so that you have only low maintenance costs. And the only thing you kind of need is getting an account somewhere at, I don't know, Amazon or a provider you trust. One other thing is, and that's what Pixelated wants to tackle too, is as I already said, most people currently use webmail, so they don't want to install a client on their machine. They don't want to download stuff. They just, for example, use Gmail in their browser. And most crypto software that you currently use, where you want to have that same degree of usability, for example, they need to install something on your machine. That is not an option for most users. So the other thing that Pixelated provides is some kind of a web front end, where the provider not only kind of hosts the mail backend, but also hosts Pixelated itself. So your mail account runs somewhere in the cloud and not on your local machine.
Okay, so that means I have to encrypt stuff in the browser.
The actual crypto runs within the client, which is written in Python, and it's the browser just delegates to that client. So the crypto the crypto parts never run in the browser itself.
Okay, so my browser talks to a client which talks to the backend, and this client is hosted on my machine?
You can if you want to. But as I just said, if you want to run it in what we call the organization setup, where you kind of run a combination of the Leap backend and Pixelated, then it runs in the cloud.
Okay. So I have kind of three steps. I have the browser, I have the client, which is responsible for the crypto, and that is either running on my own machine or delegated to a trusted party. And then I have a backend.
Page web app. That's written in JavaScript, and that talks to the Pixelated user agent, like you called it, client app, that either runs in your machine or somewhere in the cloud, that provides a REST API and does all the crypto stuff and mail maintenance stuff.
Is it possible to have Gmail as a backend if I really want to keep my old email address?
No, that's currently not possible. The reason for that is that we, and I think Eric mentioned that already, that we want to encrypt metadata as well. Currently, it's when you write an email to a Pixelated account, as soon as that enters the provider's or your provider's mail server, the mail gets encrypted in a way that it's not possible for the provider to decrypt it again. If you would continue to use, for example, your Gmail account, then you would still have that metadata, for example, on Gmail.
Yeah, metadata meaning?
Meaning from to subject.
Yeah, okay. How does Pixelated actually do all that encryption magic?
That's a very broad question. Okay, the good thing, at least for us, is that most of the crypto stuff that Pixelated uses is provided by Leap. So we didn't write almost any crypto software. And mostly rely on Leap. And Leap itself relies on GNU-PG, which is, I think, the most famous open PGP implementation there is.
Can you, because I'm not sure everyone knows, can you give a short introduction to what PGP actually means?
So PGP itself stands for pretty good privacy, and what Leap uses is GNU-PG, GNU Privacy Guard, that is tools especially developed to provide encrypted email communication. So most of the time it's an add-on that you install, for example, for Thunderbird, or that you install for, I think Google now provides it with end-to-end for a Google account. And that's a tool that does the crypto stuff for you, that uses public key cryptography.
So public key does mean?
Okay, good question. What is public key cryptography? Some time ago, I heard of a good example how to or how you can explain public key crypto. And that is when you think you're kind of able to create digital padlocks, and you can create the same padlock multiple times. And then when I want to do encrypted communication with my friends, I just send them a set of padlocks. And when then they want to write me an encrypted or secure mail, they write their stuff in a letter, put that letter into a box, and then lock that box with this padlock and send, for example, the box to me by mail. And I am the person, the only person, hopefully, who has the key for that padlock. And I open the mail and can read the content. And the in this case, the padlock would be kind of the public key.
Which you copy infinitively, because
as often as copying
padlocks in digital age is not costly.
Yeah, and the private key to open that padlock, which only I know or only I have, is the private key in this example.
So when you explain that, it sounds so simple, but in the beginning you said, oftentimes people are challenged with using cryptography and use it wrong. So how makes pixelated it easier in this case? Or how are people using it wrong, and how can you do it easier with pixelated?
I think when you've been at least one crypto party, you have experienced a lot of the pain that is or exists around using crypto software like GPG. I think for a person who never looked into cryptography before, the first thing he has to do often is to create his key pair, his public and his private key. And then it's already the first question. So what key length should I use? What kind of cipher do I want to use? Should I use an RSA key or whatever? So it's already a lot of questions. And then when I want to write a mail to a person, do I want to encrypt? Which key do I really need to encrypt? Do I want to sign it? What does it mean when I sign a mail? So it's already a lot of questions imposed on a person who just wants to write an encrypted mail. So the user experience is heavily stuffed with a lot of questions where you don't know an answer. And if you compare that, for example, to apps you use on your phone that allow you to do encrypted communication, where you basically just open the app and write the message, and that's it. And that's the way that we want Pixelated to work. So you log into your Pixelated account, you write a mail to your friend, and that's it. It gets encrypted as good as possible. If you don't have a key, the key is created for you with sensible defaults. And for your friend, it's just the other way around. So he receives the mail and just sees it like an ordinary mail in his mail account.
Okay. So is Pixelated a set of sensible defaults?
With a lot of glue code between it, yeah.
Okay.
You could say it like that. I think it's not only sensible defaults. It's a lot of user experience stuff too. So even when you would have defaults, there are a lot of questions around security that are not easy to answer, where you, for example, need to help users. One example would be if I receive an encrypted mail and I want to forward that mail to a person that has no public key, and I can't send an encrypted mail to him. There we would, for example, what do we want to do? Do we want to raise an alert to the user to say, hey, what you want to do now might not be a good idea? Or how can we handle stuff like that? And these are questions too that we want to tackle with Pixelated to provide, even in this case, it's a good user experience.
Okay. So to wrap it up, maybe before we look a little bit into the future of Pixelated, Is it usable today?
Yes, it is. So you can, as I said, use one of the demo providers, like the try provider, and try to send mails, encrypt mails, and have a look into the accounts that already exist with some pre-filled data and, for example, write mails from Alice to Bob. Yeah, so you can use it, and you can, for example, install it on your local machine and have a look too.
Okay, I guess we will provide some links with the show so you can check that out. Okay, so what is the future of Pixelated looking like, Eric?
I guess to look into the future, I have to look back a little bit. So Volker, and you asked the question and Volker answered it. So Pixelated is usable today. Looking back a little bit further even, Pixelated has been open source since September last year. So we are in a state where there is working software as we like. And going forward, of course, what we want to see is larger scale adoption of Pixelated. What we are talking about in the context of adoption, we're looking at three different audiences. One audience is obviously everybody who wants to write and read encrypted email is an audience for Pixelated. We want people to use it and we want to see adoption on the mass scale, which is one of the reasons why we focus so much on user experience, why we are reevaluating some of the trade-offs between where do you store the keys and what do you do and who do you have to trust. Where sometimes the people who have traditionally used encrypted email take a very hardcore stance and say, I don't trust anybody and the key can only be on my computer. But as we've seen, this hasn't led to mass adoption. So we're reevaluating that. And what we want to see now that we do have working software is whether our hypothesis, whether people actually accept this and whether people will begin to use encrypted email more. I would say Pixelated is now at the stage where the first organizations are looking at it more seriously. We are close to having an installation available for people inside ThoughtWorks to play with it and to get feedback on some of the assumptions we made and some of the hypotheses. And as we all know, there will be valuable feedback and we'll fine-tune it and adjust the direction. Another important audience for us, though, are companies and organizations that we have labeled mail providers. Companies and organizations that provide email services to end users. Because we do realize that, and you asked the question earlier, what do I need to do to use Pixelated? It is part of the package is server software. Of course we know that not everybody's going to install server software. So to truly get a large number of people use Pixelated, we need to find organizations that will provide email services to other people. So this can be ISPs, people that sell DSL lines. It could be hosting providers that are generally adding email services as we speak, but most people don't use it because the usability, even without encryption, cannot rival something, cannot even get close enough to something like Gmail or Outlook.com that people would want to use it. So what we are seeing here in the future is that we will, and we have started talking to organizations that provide email services, that they will use Pixelated and offer it to their customers. And again, we said we want to tackle decentralization. We are not going to host a Pixelated service ourselves, so there will be no such and such at pixelated.org email addresses. People can buy those. What we assume is that, like I said, ISPs and hosting providers, that they will offer that, and also then obviously smaller and larger organizations that provide their own email service today still, that they will run their own installations of Pixelated. And we hope to see more widespread adoption here. What is also a really crucial step for Pixelated, and that brings us back to the very beginning of this conversation, is what is the development path for Pixelated? ThoughtWorks is obviously investing into Pixelated. I mean, as you can imagine, there's a team of, depending on how you count, about 12 people working full-time on Pixelated. That is, even for a company the size of ThoughtWorks, is an investment. We are quite happy with what we are seeing so far, but we know at the same time we can't continue to do this for the next 10 years. And if you just think about how an organization like Google is investing into an email client, this is not an easy system to build. This is not something that even a team of 12 highly skilled developers and operations people, user experience people can actually do. So what we are really hoping for the future of Pixelated is that we will get more contributions from other software developers, from people who are interested. We're trying at the moment to make it as easy as possible to contribute, to get development environments set up for people to contribute, to navigate their way around the software, to find all sorts of edge cases. Could be localizations, it could be character encodings, all sorts of things, all features that people want beyond the absolute minimal viable product that we're building at the moment. And we are hoping to actually find people to contribute to that and get a thriving community around Pixelated as a project, rather than it being a piece of software that ThoughtWorks is sponsoring, where everybody who works on it works for ThoughtWorks and we just dump the source code onto GitHub. We really want a thriving community to exist around it.
So that's what you're working currently on, or what?
Yes.
What, okay. Do you have any last words to say? Okay. Then thanks very much.
Thank you.